how you always think there's two options to something. Mm-hmm. And usually those two options are like butting heads. You're like, I want this, but this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's butting heads and butting heads. There's always a third and better option.
Really?
Yes. If you think about it, like, there is something even better than this.
Which is it was something that hasn't been created yet.
Yeah. Something that you haven't been able to fathom, or like, you're not giving yourself the space to think of that third option.
Yeah.
But there is always the third thing.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
All aboard. Next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany!
Awesome. Let's just jump in.
Okay.
Hi, Sam.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, thank you for coming in here, and I love how we met. We just at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And it was like, this conversation is too good. Like, it'd be fun to share your story.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love it. So where should we start? Can we just start with this food? Because I really need to know about this.
I'm really glad that you got me an apple pear for this interview.
Yeah.
I don't think people know about apple pears, and they're amazing.
I didn't. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
Because I was going to get, what was your other, the green tea
mochi.
Mm-hmm. So I know that like sometimes, Trader Joe's have green tea mochis, but they're a little different. But, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll get that. That sounds good. And then I was like, okay, well, what's an apple pear? And I looked it up and they had one at Target. I was like, oh my God. I'm going to go get one. I have never heard of it.
I'm so bummed that you're allergic to both apples and pears.
I know. And see, I'm not 100% sure about the pears. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am. But maybe I'll take a bite, see what happens.
That would be an interesting experience.
The podcast over. This is as far as we get. Yeah. Okay. That went well. Somebody get some Benadryl quick. Okay. So tell me, what does it taste like? You can jump in. So, you can have it, like, get crunchy with it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I love ASMR, and I love that I get to do this on for everyone else, too. Okay, so an apple pear is exactly a cross between an apple and a pear. The texture is both like an apple and a pear. Ooh. So let me take a bite, and then I'll describe it further.
And it's like a... that's juicy.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yes.
It's like crunchy. It's juicier like a pear, crunchier like an apple, but easier to crunch into than an apple. This one's yellow. They're typically yellow. And yeah, I think it's the texture that makes them so addicting. I got them from the farmer's market for the first time.
Ooh.
And when they told me it was an apple pear, I was like, how did you do that? Like, did you do it? Like, the lady selling it to me.
I would have asked that too. Yeah.
How did you do that? And she's just like, she didn't really understand what I was asking her, but I was amazed. And then I found them at the grocery store. And so I eat them all the time now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That looks really good. That's amazing. Because people love apples and people love pears.
Yeah. So what, juicy
apple pear. Oh my gosh, I feel so sad now. I'm like, oh, what is it? So and it's kind of like a big fat apple. Like it's big plump. And like, it's like, yeah, it's a big plump,
it's a
apple,
very plump apple. Yeah,
awesome. And yeah, I really really liked your food options, because you also said mango spring rolls with peanut sauce.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place to get those?
I like to make those ones myself.
Okay.
They're fresh spring rolls, and each place kind of makes them different. But the ones that I make are with the rice paper. I think it's rice paper. And you soak it in water for like the perfect amount of time to put all the ingredients in, and then you roll it up, and then it sets.
Yeah.
And I'll put mango, mint, bean sprouts, avocado, cabbage, carrots, cucumber. It's a really fun date to have with somebody if you like lay all that out on a table and you make your own spring rolls.
Fun.
And then the peanut sauce is just, you can use liquid amino acids or soy sauce and peanut butter and garlic.
Ooh.
And you mix that together, and then that's the dip.
Oh my gosh, really that good. Sounds so good.
Oh yeah.
I might have to do this now.
It's an experience.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how did you learn that? Did you?
A friend in Nashville actually. Well, okay, I've had so many dates making them with people. I actually learned them at my first nanny job.
Oh.
The grandparents came to visit,
mm-hmm.
and their grandma taught me how to make them.
Oh.
So then, yeah. And then I started experimenting with like, different ingredients inside of it. But, yeah, I learned from the grandparents.
Cool. Yeah. I love that. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to have to try it. If you have, like, a recipe, otherwise, you can just, like, send it to me. I'm going to try it. And
maybe I'll record you a tutorial on the whole thing. It's a process. You have to have, like, a plate for the water, a plate for making it, and then a plate for putting them on.
Oh, cool.
And then a plate for all the ingredients. So it's a big layout.
Yeah.
Chop
up the ingredients first and put them aside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, fun.
Yeah.
So that brings me to, we were talking, and you are a former nanny.
Yeah.
How long have you been a nanny?
I think I got my first professional nanny job when I was about 25, living in Nashville.
Okay.
And I cared for three little boys.
Cute.
And I loved it. I had a newborn, and I love newborn babies, so it was great. Yeah.
They're so fun. They just sleep all the time. You hold them and cuddle them.
Yeah,
walk them around. Beat them.
He was my first baby I was caring for. Everyone said he looked more like me than his own parents. and so he was adorable. yeah. So then after that, I liked the experience and the money.
Yeah.
I'm a homebody, so like working in someone's home and just kind of playing with kids and learning. I've always been really good with kids, so it just came second nature. So I got paid well because I worked for wealthy families and did what came really easy to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super awesome. And you seem very caring and empathetic. So that works well with children.
Yeah. I think I pick up on what they're experiencing more than they're able to communicate sometimes. And so I can cater to that. And it makes my job easy.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest for everybody. So it fit me well for the time being.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, how long have you been doing that? Because
well, I would say it started back when I was in daycare myself. I had the same nanny growing up my whole life, and she had, she worked out of her house, and so she always had kids that were, younger than me too. So I kind of started helping her take care of them, and I loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've babysat for people my whole life and, started doing it professionally when I moved to Nashville, and then all the way up until recently, a few months ago, I decided it was time to retire because I've been watching the same age group, you know, from newborn to 6 years old for so long that I feel I'm burnt out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I had felt the burnout coming for a while. And I just didn't really know how to make a transition, and it was like either I need to get paid way more to stay in this mm-hmm. or I need to leave. And
yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, pay for nannies, does it depend on the family? Because yeah. I nannied and I know that I don't know what I was doing. I just let them pay me what they.
Yeah, it depends on the family. I worked through agencies, so anyone who's going to find a nanny through an agency typically has money.
Okay.
And so that's how I was able to make my living, mm-hmm. was through working through agencies and working for wealthier families. It took me a long time to understand my worth. There were times where a big part of my job was being at playgrounds. And so I met a lot of other nannies that way. And you start to discuss pay after a while. Yeah. You know, like, what are you making? And it really hit me one day when I was talking to my nanny friend who... She was 25 and I was, this was just a couple years ago, so I was probably 31. And she was making like $5 more an hour than I was. And it was just because that's what she asked for.
Yeah.
And I realized I had only just been taking what they were offering.
Yeah.
And so that kind of started changing my mindset with the way that I work and, you know, the experience that I had.
Yeah.
And the ability that I had, I think I've raised kids to be really good humans, and I've been really mindful. You know, I don't just watch them. I really tap into their emotional needs, and I think I've really helped them learn how to navigate as good humans, through life as good humans. So... But with the good pay also comes sort of losing your own life because there were some jobs that felt like I was a third parent.
Oh, yeah. And I felt like that a lot of times working as a nanny.
Yeah. And I think back in the day, back, you know, in my mid-20s, I was more willing to do that kind of work. But it started to feel really draining on me, and it wasn't just 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, which is still too much, but it would bleed into the weekends and bleed into the nighttime. And with leaving every day, it was just sort of like heartbreaking sometimes to raise this kid, but also it's not your kid.
Right. Yeah.
And so I felt like I was doing a lot of the hard work, but not really able to feel
the connection. And
to keep grow that connection.
With a family. Like essentially when you're doing that work, it's like a rewarding to see them grow and be a part of their life and a family.
Yeah. And I think for me, it became a little heartbreaking at times because I thought at some point I would like become a mother myself during that process. And the more time went on and the more, you know, it wasn't happening for me.
Yeah.
And so I think, naturally I started to resent the job a little bit. Feeling like I'm doing this job because this is the life that I thought I wanted and it's not happening for me. Mm-hmm. And I was just really lonely outside of it.
Yeah.
So I started shifting my focus on more of myself.
Yeah.
And having to take care of my emotional needs because it was starting to take too much out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, and now you kind of took a turn.
A major turn.
A major turn of careers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, I don't even know where to start because it still blows my mind.
Yeah. How did you get into your new career? Like, how did that spark?
Well, it sparked back when I was in college. I wanted to make a lot of money. I was like, man, wouldn't this all be easier if I just made a lot of money quick?
Yeah.
And so I started doing my research back when I was 20, 21. And But I didn't have the courage to do it. I didn't have the confidence. It was just like, man, I could really make a lot of money doing this, but I didn't have anyone pushing me. And it was way more risky. It felt way more risky at the time. Mm-hmm. And now, so I started dating someone back in at the beginning of this year. And one of the conversation came up and I was like, I've thought about doing that before. And he was like, he looked at me and he was like, oh my God, you would make so much money. And I was, it kind of like, I was like, huh, yeah, I would. And that would feel really nice because I wouldn't have to work as much either.
Yeah.
Like typically, you know?
Right.
So the job was dancing, stripping,
yeah,
exotic dancing, whatever you want to call it. And so with that like new door open to it, I was like, okay, I'm going to start looking into this. And I started going into clubs and kind of researching like how to give a lap dance and what it looks like. I would just go into a club and kind of see what the girls were doing, mm-hmm, and talk with them and kind of see if I could see myself doing it.
Yeah.
And the first club I went into, I was like, no. I can't, 'cause it was a full nude. And I just thought like, oh, I'm not there yet. And like no issue with anyone who is, you know, mm-hmm, 'cause it's all about confidence and, you know,
yeah,
being comfortable. But then I went into another club and it was really fancy and I was like, this is intimidating. I can't even see myself doing this either. So it was a lot of like doubt popping up in my mind, but at the same time, there was a lot of burnout. I was just kind of glazing over at work,
yeah,
and feeling really unfulfilled. And so the person I was seeing was really helping me with my confidence and kind of holding me to it, because he was very comfortable with the idea of me doing that. And
yeah,
very encouraging. So he kind of like held me to it.
Oh yeah.
And so I wanted to feel prepared. So I bought a pole. I started learning pole. And there was like an amateur night.
Oh yeah.
Where you go in and you basically like compete. You do one dance on stage and then the winner gets a contract and money and so it was the day after my birthday. And so I was like, okay, this feels right. Like I'm going to go challenge myself to do this amateur night. And
fun.
Yeah. And so like I had practiced my routine on pole. I picked out my song, tried to get myself as prepared as I could to go do this like insanely crazy thing that I never thought I would ever do. I'm typically like shy and reserved and in my comfort bubble. And I felt myself getting really nervous and I knew how capable I was of talking myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I told myself, you're not nervous, you're excited. You're not nervous, you're excited. And I just kept saying that, you're not nervous, you're excited. Whenever I'd get my phone to text my friend that I was about to have a panic attack about it, I would just put the phone down and say, nope, I'm excited. So I flipped the script on myself, tricked myself into thinking I was excited about it.
Yeah.
Ended up being really excited about it. I didn't end up winning the competition, because there were other girls that were way better on stage than I was. I don't even know what I look like on stage. I don't care to know either. But I went into it also knowing, like, I'm still going to work here if I don't win amateur night.
Yeah.
And so as I was leaving, they asked me if I wanted to audition.
Ooh.
because I think it was like my attitude. It was my energy. I had really good energy because I was just excited to be there the whole time.
Yeah.
And my stage set, afterwards, I felt like I had just gone like skydiving. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I had just done that. And it was really liberating. Mm-hmm. So liberating. It was like, I've never showed my boobs to more than one person at a time and to show them to 30 people.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, wow, I feel great.
Yeah.
I ended up auditioning, getting the job, and it's become something way more than I ever expected it to be.
Yeah.
There's a huge stigma around it, and even, you know, a stigma that I had myself about it, and the more that I'm seeing what it's doing for people, what it's done for me and what it's doing for the people I work for, the more I'm proud to say that I'm doing it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I know it's really like strange for people to understand, but just with my experience in life, this is liberating, and I feel so in control.
Yeah.
Where like back in the day outside of the club, you know, I didn't feel in control of what was happening to me sometimes. So this is one of the best things that has happened to me. And the day that you and me met at the cafe, you were like, do you have anything fun plans for tonight?
Yeah.
And I remember I kind of looked down because it was my first, I had just quit my nanny job. It was like my first night working at the club. With that being my only job. And so I was like, do I tell her? Like, do I tell her what I'm doing? Because I'm so shy about this still.
Yeah.
And I made the decision to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm working. And you're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a stripper. So, yeah, you got to meet me right in
That's so cool. I didn't know that. That was your first night. Did I know that? I don't think I knew that.
I don't think you did.
No. Okay.
I was right at the crossroads of changing direction. And yeah. You were the first person I told. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love that. Oh, did it feel good? To say it. I know, and then I drag you here, like, wow, I'm never telling anybody anything again. And now all of a sudden I'm sharing my story.
Yeah. What was the question?
I don't even remember. I guess I don't even know. But yeah. Have you ever ASMR'd? I feel like because you did so well.
Thank you. I actually have. I've ASMR'd and no one has seen it.
Are you serious? Nobody?
Yeah, because I thought about getting into that.
Yeah.
Because I like watching ASMR stuff.
Me too.
So I was just like mimicking what I saw.
Yeah.
And then like watching it back, I'm like, I don't know if I can do it as well as what I see. So I just kind of like get a little bit of satisfaction out of doing it a little bit myself. And then I maybe that's next. Maybe that's after this. I'll get into ASMR. But
do you have a big fuzzy microphone?
I actually do have a microphone.
Yeah.
I bought one at the beginning of like thinking I was going to do that. And it's still in the box in my closet.
Oh, funny. So, you didn't take it out?
I used it. I did use it once. And it was just something that didn't really transpire all the way. So I still have it. It's an option.
I feel like that'd be fun. You should like TikTok even. Like the people love that.
Yeah. I'm really trying to get into learning social media a little bit better. Like all these different like Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram. But then at the end of the day, I'm trying to be off my phone and in real life.
Yeah.
So it's a balance that I'm trying to have with learning it and being able to use it to my benefit and not to my detriment, because it can go both ways very easily. So I'm aimed towards using social media to benefit me.
It's hard to find the balance, though, because I don't even know how to use it. I like to make stupid videos. I think my my social media sometimes doesn't make sense, where I'm like,
mine doesn't either, I keep trying to recreate my image.
Yeah.
But I don't even know. I think natural in yourself is the best image.
Yeah.
And I think being a little reserved in my life is making it hard for me to know how to portray myself on social media.
Yeah.
Like, I can do it just fine in person.
Yeah.
But you want to come off the right way, or like the best way that you can. And so I overthink what I put out there.
Yeah.
And then it's stressful. So
it is, right? Yeah. And I just like, I post stupid videos of like, even like test shoots on my phone that I'm like, oh, this is funny. I like put a little music on it. It's just like a friend like bopping their head in and out of like a photo. It's like, is this, I love it.
Yeah.
But do people love it? I don't know. It's just a goofy photo or a video that I took with music. So
I have a TikTok that I got recently, and I'm the only one who can see the videos that I post.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. I won't even let my friends follow me on there because I'm...
Is it private? Can you do that?
Yeah, you can make everything on there private.
Okay.
And I think right now I'm just having fun editing videos, and sort of like, to see yourself on social media is different. And so I just look at it and wonder, like, do I want to keep this up? Do I want more people to see this?
Oh, yeah.
I recently made a video of me cold dipping, like taking a cold bath, and trying to show people like the benefits of it.
Wim Hof.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know how many times I've tried to do that, but...
Cold dip?
Yeah, it's hard for me to get there.
Yeah, it's challenging.
I do at least the ice cold shower, and I try that, but...
It wakes you up.
Yeah.
It wakes you up better than a cup of coffee.
Do you think that people who live in colder temperatures have better health if they're outside a lot?
Yeah. I'm actually more active in Minnesota than I was in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like,
interesting.
I think you make it a point to get out and be active when you're here, because if you're not, then...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'm in better shape living here in the winter than I was in Nashville.
Yeah. I think it does something to our body. I think it's good. Like again, the health benefits of being cold. I think that maybe we have that when we go outside more and our body acclimates to the cold, and then we go into the heat.
Yeah. And I think we're more, the way that Northerners eat is more catered to what we need, because you just need certain things to get through the winter.
Yeah.
And so the way that I'm eating is different up here. But like, as far as cold, I do think the cold is beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think so. That's why I always complain, and everyone, I mean, I don't know if I complain a lot, but it gets too cold, but I kind of like it. But you're used to that, because Michigan is pretty cold too, right?
Yeah.
Not as cold. But.
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, and it's not as cold this year, and I think Michigan is just different. It's different from here. I feel like Minnesota has way more going on in the wintertime.
Oh my goodness, I do not need to answer that. Hold on, sorry. I don't even know anyone from Connecticut, so...
Sometimes it's the Amazon driver, though. Do you have an Amazon package coming?
Nope, I do not.
Okay.
Yeah, no drivers calling me. It's always, there's a warranty on your car.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think they quit calling me for my warranty.
Oh my gosh, they think I'm a person named Taylor. I don't know.
Oh. Speaking of cars, mine got stolen recently.
What?
Yeah. I've never had a car stolen before. And this whole process was insane.
Was it a Prius?
Kia.
Kia.
A freaking Kia. Ugh. There's a TikTok video on how to, I probably shouldn't even be saying
oh,
this.
Oh, no, the Kias? Yeah. Yeah, there are TikTok videos where people just, kids steal them and they just leave them, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, because they're so easy to hotwire, which makes me really mad at Kia. Like,
really? Like, there should be a class action lawsuit for all of the people yeah, who like, have gotten their car stolen for
I want
Kia.
Some compensation for the stress that I went through over that. Situation.
Yeah, and TikTok should be held accountable too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let's just start this movement.
Yeah.
Did you ever get it back or no?
Yeah, I noticed the next day, the day after I filed a police report, they were like, check the impound lot. And so the next day, I checked the impound lot and it was there already.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like, great. It was probably just like the Kia boys stole my car, took it for a joyride. And I'm just going to drive it off the lot. When I get there, the guy takes me to the lot. I see it out and I like open the door and I was like, oh no, this isn't mine. Like different license plates and it's full of someone's stuff. It's just packed full. So I got back in the van. We started driving away. He's like, well, that's the only Kia. So we went back to it and someone had, moved all their stuff into my car, changed the license plates, and it was packed full of their stuff, and I had to go through all this like stolen stuff. You could tell it was all stolen
because the keys worked. It was
I identified my car by the VIN number.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was like needles. It was scary.
So the thing is that's not an uncommon thing, at least unless it just happened more than once. But a friend of mine, his car got stolen. Okay, so I had a friend who got his car stolen, same thing. Mm-hmm. When he got it back, it was just like filled with someone's shit. Mm-hmm. Like people like live in it and like do drugs in it and like drop it off or something.
It's so violating. Yeah. It felt so like...
How long was it gone for? Probably not that long.
No, I noticed it stolen at like 4 p.m. and I found it the next day at 11:30 in the morning. So I don't know how they found it or where it was. But it must have been parked like somewhere obviously not supposed to be. Yeah. And so it got towed. And then I was probably without it for like 2.5 weeks because they had to fix the whole steering column. And then after they fixed it, I had to clean all of the guy's stuff out.
Ugh.
Yeah. So gross.
Gross.
And I went and got my car detailed, but it still, like, has the scent of him in it.
Do you want to try to sell your car? Like, how do you feel? Or, like, get a new car? Because, man, I would want to be done with that.
I really wanted...
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. I wanted it to be totaled. I wanted a new car. But... it was fixable, so I got it back, and now I want to sell it, but that whole process, the idea of that process stresses me out, and I don't have the title yet, and to get the title it's paid off, but to get the title has been stressful, because I've moved so much that, like, nothing ever gets sent to the right address.
Yeah.
So it got sent to the wrong address, and now getting it is
Gosh, hard. I'm sorry. Yeah. Ugh.
It's okay. Everyone in my family, whenever they want to send me a package, they are all double-checking my address because I've moved, like, every year to a new place.
Oh, we have that in common.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to settle down, but...
I would love to buy a house and just be like, I live here, but I don't... I can never get there. That's like actually one of my goals, because having some stability in my life would be just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's my goal, to buy a house as well.
Yeah.
But easier said than done, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're going to get there one day. I really want to have chickens.
Yeah. In how about 2 years from now, we'll revisit this.
Yeah.
We'll talk about your chickens. We'll talk about your house. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about my house. We'll have some roots.
Yeah.
We'll have each other over for dinners.
Yeah.
We'll have a garden.
A clawfoot tub.
A claw. You and me both.
With a window above it. Like I want a window a
skylight.
In the, yeah.
See, it's all happening right here. If it's being recorded, it's gonna happen. We're manifesting it. It's gonna happen.
Yes. If you can imagine it, you can create it.
And
you just have to like let yourself imagine what you want and keep imagining it.
Yeah. Totally.
Write it down. Tell yourself it's possible.
Yeah.
It's like anything's possible.
It is.
You focus on is what comes to you.
Yep. It's true.
Yes.
It is true.
So emotional discipline is a thing for me lately. I'm like, control yourself here. Because if you want good things, you've got to have the energy of sort of already having it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so true. You start with the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're being sidetracked from things with low vibration energies or something that's, I don't know, not, it's weird. It's so true.
Yeah.
Start there.
Surround yourself with people who see the same thing for you as well.
Yeah.
If you're surrounding yourself with pessimistic people, then, you know, it's not going to happen. But if you are around people who believe in your ability to create for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's going to speed up the process.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the people, I think that's one thing I've learned is, like, the people around me mean a lot.
Yeah.
So having good people around you really, you know, it's like a mirror of yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I think for some people, it's like, well, yeah, my whole life. Yeah. I only surround myself with people like me. But for me, it's not the case. I'm like, I love everybody. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to bend over backwards for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
No wonder your life is crazy and spiraling in a bad direction and not the way you want, because you're putting yourself out there for so many people that don't believe in you or care as much back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
I think I get drained very easily by people. And so I'm very aware, like I'm pretty introverted and don't spread myself between too many people.
Yeah.
So the people that I do spend my time with, I'm very aware of how I feel when I'm with them.
Yeah.
And if you want to help somebody, it doesn't matter if they don't want to help themselves.
Yeah. If we kind of talked about this today. A mutual person that we both met that day we met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I want to help myself as much as I want to, you know, uplift other people, but we've all got to be on the same page about the work that we're going to put into it and the dedication and the image and there's a lot that goes into that stuff. And I say emotional discipline, but you also have to be real with how you're feeling as well,
mm-hmm.
but snap yourself out of it when it's been too much, you know?
Yeah. It's emotional intelligence is super important. And I think it's one of the hardest things for people to get to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, and I feel like a lot of people in their 20s are just not emotionally intelligent. Like it takes like work and learning in real life to like get through that. A lot of people get to it in their 30s. Some people never get to it.
Yeah, it's interesting how in your 20s you think that you're evolved. You're an adult. You find, you know.
Just because you have bills to pay doesn't make you an adult.
I
pay my bills.
Just because you drive a car doesn't mean you're an adult.
Right.
I think as soon as you stop thinking that you've learned everything or you're done learning or you're done going through experiences or lessons, you're doing yourself a disservice. We're never done learning,
mm-mm.
you know? And with each lesson, you kind of like, I think of it as like leveling up. You're leveling up on just being an aware human.
Yeah.
Like actually aware mm-hmm. past the human part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I could get really spiritual, but
I love it. Get spiritual. We've had lots of conversations on this podcast. So,
okay, yeah. I'm kind of defer away from spirituality in a way because it got so culty in Nashville.
Yeah.
That, like, I wasn't raised as any type of religion growing up. I was, like, the most ignorant on religion. I just didn't know. And so I had to develop my beliefs with a blank slate, you know, like no knowledge of what the Bible says or even like what it means or anything like that. And so, yeah, I've just developed it all based off of what I've seen and what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, that's very sacred to me. You know, I don't have to prove it to anybody or to, you know, yeah, I don't have to prove it, but the people who do have to prove some type of spirituality are the ones that, I think have a
job and mm-hmm. your first mm-hmm. day at the club.
Yeah.
And tell me how it went.
So, yeah, I don't really remember that specific night. Mm-hmm. But
hold on. Can I pause?
Yeah.
No, you had a night shift.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to put on what club you're at. Oh,
I brought this as well.
I drank that too. No, I was just excited. The Alive. Yeah. The root beer ones.
So good.
So good. That's why I got excited. I was like, that's like my favorite. We have, I love it.
I should have brought you one.
No, you are fine. I have kombuchas in the fridge, but no, yeah.
Okay.
I get so sidetracked. I'm so ADD. You know, I'm like, ooh.
I feel like I can trust people more if I know they drink kombucha.
Right? Oh, I love kombucha. Yeah. I actually used to make it too on my own. Like, yeah, but I don't do that anymore.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Is it the mother?
Mm-hmm.
The SCOBY?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a mouthful of SCOBY?
Yeah.
I got a mouthful of SCOBY before I knew what SCOBY was.
It's disgusting, especially if you don't know what you're drinking.
It's like a huge loogie.
Yeah, it's disgusting. You don't want that in your mouth. But, no? I mean, texture-wise, but it's not bad for you.
It's probably really good for
it's
you.
It's actually, you do want it in really your stomach.
Really great for you. Yeah. Yeah. But I got a big mouthful of it once. And it was intense.
I love the kombucha experience. Like, people who don't really drink kombucha, and then they're like, what is this? They shake it up, spray themselves. I've seen a lot of people just, like...
Very carbonated.
Yeah. Just... I mean, who shakes a carbonated drink anyways? That's a goofy thing. But a lot of people do, because they see the SCOBY, and they're like, oh, this needs to be mixed up. You know? So that's... Yeah. But, yeah, I love kombucha. So back to, okay, so I know that, like, a lot of strippers that I know, they have to, like, work at a place for, like, a year before they can even do nights.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Each club has way different rules learning. I've only worked at one, and I really like it, mm-hmm. so I'm sticking to that one for now. But, yeah, I can work any shift. I want.
Oh, that's super nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
Did you just have to pay the house fee or anything?
Yeah, the house fee, the rate is different throughout the day.
Okay.
So if you go in a little bit earlier, it's less.
Okay.
Because usually there's more money towards the end of the night.
Yeah.
But before I started getting into this, I looked up other dancers and tried to find people that I could relate to. Mm. And so I found dancers around my age who were working the day shift and making that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so with where I'm at now, I'm trying to do more day shifts and then maybe one night shift a week, or if there's an event, like I work that event because guaranteed good money at those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the day shift is slower but less stressful because there's less girls.
Okay.
And, you know, if there's not a lot of guys and a ton of girls, then there's just a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And then the night shift, you know, I like being up in the morning. So if I work a night shift, then I'm sleeping pretty late. So it just kind of depends on, you know, what's going on. But, yeah, I'm still still figuring out my schedule and what works for me, but what works for me is being able to work whenever I want to.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, but then I'm trying to discipline myself also to make sure I get into work.
Yeah.
Because it can be hard. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to talk yourself out of going to work.
Yeah.
If you're not expected to be anywhere.
Right.
But, I mean, one thing with my nanny job was I was just feeling so over showing up for... I just had this feeling of I want to show up for myself. I want to start showing up for myself.
Yeah.
And there was this one time where that it really hit me. I woke up late. My alarm didn't go off. And as soon as I opened my eyes, it was too light outside and I knew I was late. And, like, the people I was working for had to be at work, and yeah. So I was very like, and I'm never late to anything.
Yeah,
my alarm didn't go off. It sucked. Ugh. And I had a panic attack as I was trying to wake up because I said fuck probably late. 50 yeah. times before I even had my feet on the ground.
Yeah,
because oh my gosh, it's such a horrible feeling to wake up late. And I had a panic attack, and so I'm trying to text them, like, I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. I'll be, you know, I'm just going to, like, run out the door and be there. But everything went white. I started sweating profusely, like I was, like, drips and drips and drips. Like, I was just having this reaction of stress, complete stress from, I felt like I was really disappointing somebody.
Yeah.
And I felt that shame, and I felt just really uncomfortable. And I think having that experience was like, man, I don't want to feel that way anymore.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wow.
So that was sort of a catalyst of me realizing I want to wake up. I want to show up for myself.
Yeah.
And not that I'm unreliable, because I'm very punctual typically, but to have the freedom throughout my day to go as I please,
yeah,
is amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's like one of the many perks of this job.
Yeah.
That I really enjoy.
Which you put your time in, and you deserve it. It's time to kind of be liberated and do something for yourself and have that time where you make your own schedule.
Yeah.
You make the money that you want to. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you make more money, I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's cash too. And yeah. So like being able to see the money that you're making is different than a check or like it just going into your account.
Yeah.
It's funny because last year, at the beginning of the year, I made a, like a New Year's resolution board, like mm-hmm. a picture board.
A vision board?
Vision board.
Yeah.
And on there, I just put stacks of cash. And I didn't even know that I was going to be dancing, yeah. but I just put stacks of cash on there. And looking back on it now, everything else I put on there also happened.
Wow.
And so really, if you can visualize what you want, now I see stacks of cash and I'm just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
That's
so cool. I love vision boards. That you got it. And when you're doing it, you actually have to be involved. People can't just like, I don't know. I think once you're like really involved and you actually like take the time to pick out what you want on your vision board, like that mm-hmm. is also like putting the energy into it and stuff. So.
Yeah. And as specific as you can get with it.
Yeah.
Is even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was just a goofy movie, but do you remember that movie? What was it? It was the original, maybe I'm aging myself, but the original visualizing movie about, I can't think of the name of it.
Do you know who's in it?
Mm-mm. It's like a documentary. About
The Secret.
The Secret. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I'm like, how is it? Yeah. So The Secret when it came out.
Yeah.
And the guy on there was like, oh yeah. I put like this big house on the board and blah, blah, blah. And then like years later, it's like, oh my gosh, that's my house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what? That's crazy.
Yeah.
But.
And like you have to believe that you can also do it too.
Yeah.
And I think the first step of believing that you can do it is looking at where you are right now and realizing that you've created what you have, whether it was intentionally or not.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time you'll find that, you know, you wanted this thing a long time ago and you finally have it, but it's such a slow and steady pace that you can forget that you ever wanted it by the time you get it.
Yeah.
So being
actually, yeah, I think about that stuff too. Even if you think back, you're like, oh my gosh, this is it.
Yeah.
I've done that. Yeah.
It's wow. Gratitude. It's gratitude. Like really noticing what you have and realizing like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Because you can only build on that emotion, on that feeling. This is great. It's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, however, whatever direction you want it to go in, you can. Yeah. And like, I talk about wanting chickens all the time. I guarantee you I'll have chickens one day.
As I said, next year, let's revisit this and let's see where we're both at.
Yeah.
You got your chickens. We both have our houses. Mm-hmm. Now, so your first night, it was probably fine. You don't remember a whole lot of it. It's just kind of
I remember, I didn't really know what I was doing yet. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be me. I'm like, something there and be like, just screw it all up.
Yeah. It's funny because I was researching how to do like lap dances.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea really how to do a lap dance.
Yeah.
And so I like got lap dances from girls. I was like, okay, you kind of do this, you kind of do that. And so I think a lot of it was just at the beginning getting myself comfortable with the motions of talking to somebody and having conversation. It was very draining very quickly for me at first.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to go about it really.
Yeah.
And so my first time on stage, I did one dance and I was so winded and just like depleted afterwards.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing three dances and like getting off stage and going and
gosh, what a good workout.
It's a great workout.
Ugh.
I love it so much. It's like the girls on stage too.
Uh-huh.
Each girl has different energy to her.
Yeah.
And as long as you're tapped into your energy, as long as you're feeling yourself, people see that.
Yeah.
And when I get up there and I'm just in the zone, that's when I make the most money on stage because I'm, you know, you're not second guessing everything. You're just going with the flow.
Yeah.
And it's fun because on slow days, the girls will like teach each other new stuff.
Fun.
And so we're like rooting for each other and learning new things. And you really have to just get on the pole, feel what it feels like to do a certain move. Do it a couple times, work up your strength, and then it looks like magic.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
You really feel like a goddess when you're up there.
Fun.
And you get treated like one too, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so I have a lot of friends that are strippers and
I do.
Okay. And the part of the reason I want you to talk about it because you went from it was fascinating from nannying. Because a lot of girls kind of jump in younger.
Yeah.
But that's not the case for everyone. I do know a girl who, when she turned 30, she decided that she now is going to do stripping, you know, which is, you know, it's not always the case. But it's just so interesting to hear. And I also sharing the stories of like, it's not weird stigmas of like being this. Such a horrible job, you know, with any job, even like bartending. I think that because I bartend and I could be an alcoholic. I could easily just like go down the route of, I guess, my question for you is, do you see like in the bar scene, we always see like, okay, there's people that don't make it as a bartender because they just drink all the time with people and like whatever. Do you see the girls that are like clearly doing it because they love it and that it's a job and it's super fun? And then are there like girls that are like drug addicts that do it? Do you see like, do you have, or are there any like,
I think, there's there's a lot of different demographics in the club. Mm-hmm. I'm a sober dancer, and I do see how the way some people treat the job, it's, they're going to get burnt out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And those are like the younger girls typically.
Especially starting young and just like getting into that party lifestyle.
Yeah. I think I have more of a steady head on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I did when I was their age, you know, right. I used to work next to a strip club. And so I was like in that environment just without the confidence to be on stage. And, you know, I see some situations happen where a girl might feel, like the exchange wasn't equal, mm-hmm. or that, you know, she wasn't able to, I mean, you do get, rejected in the club. You do have guys trying to do more than you're wanting to do, and you have to set boundaries. You have to have a strong shell. And so most of the people that I witness are doing a good job balancing themselves in the club. Mm-hmm. But I do see some people kind of jumping into it without the awareness of themselves and what they're capable of doing, mm-hmm. and where they need to be careful.
Yeah.
And that's honestly one thing that I enjoy about it is everyone I've met, I really care about, and I love them, and I like to be that mother for them, or that friend, or like that stable person around them so they can come to me and talk to me if they want to.
You're still nannying even in the club.
Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable that I'm going to mother the people caretaker. Around me.
Yeah. You care about people. That's awesome.
Yeah. But if you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be a sober stripper, I would tell you that you're a liar.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
And that you say I'm sober, you don't drink at all either.
I quit. Like, yeah. I'm just over 10 months sober.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love sobriety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is so great.
I haven't had a hangover.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like hangovers. I don't like the way I feel 4 days after.
I know. The older you get, the longer they last, and it's not worth it.
No.
And yeah, there was a few times where I was like, maybe drinking would make this easier, but it wouldn't. It honestly wouldn't make it easier.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
But the back of your head will always tell you that, like, oh, it might be kind of nice. Might be relaxing.
You know what? Kombucha has helped me. I honestly don't have much of a craving for alcohol anymore. I don't have one. But when I did, when I was still hanging around people that I would normally drink with, I just substituted my desire for a beer for this root beer kombucha.
I can see that.
So easy.
Yeah.
But the one thing that like really helped me switch to, I really had the desire to stop suffering. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like to be sober. It was like, I don't want to suffer anymore.
Yeah.
There's a book called, I think it's called The Naked Mind by Annie something. That book changed my whole perspective on drinking. And within a couple pages, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's the easy decision.
Yeah.
So I recommend that book to anyone who's like needing inspiration or like, it just changes. It changed my whole mind on alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alcohol is the worst.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but it really is. It's ruined a lot of lives. It's worse than heroin on trying to get off of. It can kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone has to learn for themselves that they, mm-hmm. it's not working for them anymore. But yeah, I don't want to wake up anymore and regret something I said or say things or do things or risk my life I don't want to do that anymore. For what? I'm still having fun.
And is there a code you can go to the bartender if someone wants to buy you a cocktail?
Yeah. Yes, there is. And
don't have to say
it's a specific drink.
Yeah.
Yep. And so when I first started doing this, I was so afraid of losing my
clients.
Losing clients and losing my sobriety.
Oh,
I was like, I don't want to be
working in the atmosphere. Yeah,
yeah, I don't want to be in the position where I have to take a drink. You know, there's just situations where you want to.
I should be a bartender in a strip club. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I used to be a bartender. It was a lot of fun. It was at a vegan restaurant, but I think I've thought about it. I've thought about switching to bartending, but I imagined myself being in that position. And right now, I feel so powerful walking around with less clothes on than the bartenders.
Yeah.
It's strange, but I really love what I'm doing now because I'm in control of all of it. I'm in control of who I talk to. I'm in control of, like, how much money I ask for. And I don't have to, like... I'm so independent in my work, and that's what's really...
I love that. It is. Yeah. It's like running your own business.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm an independent contractor.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
That's great. And sorry, I did interrupt because I get excited, but yeah, so there is a cocktail that you can order.
Yes.
From the bartender, and then the people who are buying you a drink think that you're drinking with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that about strip clubs.
Yeah, and sometimes I tell the customer that I'm sober. It just kind of depends on...
Do they ever say, oh, why? What happened to you?
Some people think, oh, then I won't drink around you. It's like, no, drink as much as you want. It's not tempting me at all. It's kind of like reading the room with each customer. Like, should I pretend I'm drinking with this one or should I, or, you know, should I not? But it's really funny because sometimes they'll bring me like a cocktail, mocktail, or they'll bring me a shot of water with some juice.
Yeah.
And so there's been a few times where I'm taking a shot of water. I smell it first to make sure it's not alcohol because I'm just like so scared I'm going to think it's water.
Get it mixed up.
Yeah. I smell it. It has no smell. So I'm like, okay, this is water. I shoot it and then I go, whew. And I like make this face as if, you know, I just took a shot of tequila. But it's comical with lying about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could, you know, encourage everyone to like be sober. But sometimes I just have to pretend that I'm drinking.
Do you ever feel like... There's Sam, and then when you go to the club, you're a different character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels authentic to me still. Mm-hmm. I'm being someone else.
Like a different part of you.
Yeah. Yeah. A part of me that has grown throughout the years and it's like a stronger part of me. Because I would describe myself outside of the club as like pretty sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And like growing up, I was... very sensitive. And now, you know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea and that's okay with, you know, who I am in the club.
Yeah.
It doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
So it's interesting this hat that I can put on when I'm there, and sort of change everything. But I think this is somebody that I have been growing and working towards.
You should write a book.
I am, actually.
That's great.
I don't want to say I'm writing a book, but I journal every day, and I write about the experiences that I have in the club.
Yeah.
And, you know, before I was writing my feelings and my emotions so much that when I would fill up a journal, I would, like, go back and kind of review it, and I'm like, man, this is depressing. No one's going to enjoy reading this.
Yeah.
So now I'm aiming more towards writing about my experiences because... Mm. They're so crazy. Like each day at the club, I have this interaction with somebody that's just so noteworthy and deep, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just about like sex work. It's not just about that part of it. People are really coming in for like therapy.
Yeah.
And I think with men, they open up way more once they're stimulated in that way. Mm-hmm. And we have to just be real with ourselves that that's a reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I go into the club and I need some therapy. And mm-hmm. so whoever I'm talking to
gets to listen.
Helps
to
me
you.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have good conversations sometimes too there, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'd imagine because you, it's, yeah, such a fascinating concept, a strip club. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just so many elements of it where, and I'm sure over time you learn how to like kind of weed out the bad, the grimy.
Yeah. I can pick it out pretty easily now. And yeah. There's a specific type of encounter that I don't want. Yeah. And so I don't even give that any of my energy.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of young guys going to party, woo, like the woo guys.
Yeah.
Woo.
They're funny. They're so funny to me. It's yeah, they're pretty harmless. It's the older men that can get really cringy and ooh. Weird. Ooh. So I just, it's not worth the money to me to feel gross.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Yeah. You avoid those type.
Yeah. I can make my money feeling good.
Yeah. I love that. It's empowering. And it's really refreshing to hear somebody talk about it like you, who's doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
If I can say that, because you're strong, you're level-headed, you kind of go in there as a job, and you're not, you know, you're not falling into any, like, party behavior and stuff, or, like, mm-hmm. it might be fun, whatever, party behavior, but, like, you're not doing drugs, you're not drinking, you're not mm-hmm. ruining your life, you're not, like, you yeah. know, slipping into that.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome. I yeah. think that's really cool.
Yeah, thanks. It's very possible for people to do.
Yeah. It takes a really strong person to do that.
Yeah.
Now, does, because I know that a lot of my friends, not a lot of them, but some of them tell me about kind of the cattiness in there. How mm-hmm. do you avoid the drama? Because I know there's, when you have a group of girls, especially competing for men,
yeah.
how do you avoid getting wrapped into that? Because I know as a person like you, you don't seem like somebody who would want to even engage in something like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't engage in it.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest fears, honestly, was yeah. not the club scene, but the in the locker room, you yeah. know? I think... So I don't engage in it, mm. but I also think that my mothering energy just doesn't really allow for it.
Oh, sure.
And so I honestly haven't had any issues with it yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I was surprised. Everyone wants to, everyone who's there to make money, they don't want to ruin their chances of being able to come in and make money. So they're not really... quick to make that happen.
Yeah, I can see that.
So most of the time, everyone's really supportive of each other.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, complimenting of each other's looks. And, yeah, so far it's been a positive experience.
I feel like that has changed. Do you think, like, I don't know because I'm not in it, but even just in general, lifting up other women is kind of a new movement. Mm-hmm. I think in society, and so I feel like the clubs back in the day weren't always necessarily like that.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah,
being a change.
And I don't know why. I guess I just, again, I have a lot of friends who started young, and mm-hmm. I just remember hearing stories about them fighting with each other all the time and like yeah. competing, and I'm like. I think there's a switch somewhere
yeah.
where that just stopped happening so much. And I'm sure it's still dramas everywhere. But mm-hmm. So I might be flipping, but there's the friend of mine who started stripping when she was in her, like when she turned 30, 30, mm-hmm. 31. And she did a lot of research, and she actually used to follow some TikTok ladies from Minneapolis who are like TikTok famous, mm-hmm. I guess. And they like talk about being a stripper and how much money they make and how that they're a mom and a parent and, you know, pretty much sober, but like all this stuff. And so I was like, okay, I got to see these TikToks. So I always watch them too. And it's really cool to see. Do you see like women with their TikToks out or like have their TikTok channel? Because I feel like stripping on TikTok is a big thing.
Yeah. So I'm starting to tap into that and starting to follow girls from the club and see how they're sort of advertising themselves outside of it. And trying to get into that myself. I'm trying to figure out how to do it in a way that'll benefit me.
Right. Because I could, if you have enough followers and you go live or whatever, that's extra income for you, right?
Yeah, I want to make money doing it. And so I heard recently millionaires have multiple sources of income. So I'm like, okay, I got to have something that's making passive income.
Yeah. That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like hearing that really made me realize like I have to be in more places than one to make lots of money. So how do I do that?
Right.
And it's online. So I just made my Instagram for this character that I am and started following some girls from the club there. Giving it to customers. I like to give it to people. Like right now I feel most comfortable doing it with like one-on-one, like after I work with them, I give them that information and then they can like reach out to me.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to kind of keep a base on Instagram with it. And then I've been posting like random poll TikToks on there. And then having a way where someone can reach out, like a customer can reach out for, to pay for pictures or videos or something like that. And then just already having the pictures and videos, you know, not like, okay, this person wants a video, so now I need to make a video. It's this person wants a video, so I'm just going to send them one from my bank of videos or pictures, you know, and I haven't even made any videos or pictures yet. So I'm at the very beginning of it, but it's got to be catered to my authenticity and like what I feel comfortable putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually doing a photo shoot in Nashville this weekend with a friend.
Fun.
Yeah. And you're a photographer too. So if you're ever interested, that's funny because maybe that could be something.
I haven't done a lot of, sorry, this is sad, but I haven't done a lot of fun projects lately. Uh-huh. So I was like, I need a model. Who inspires me right now? And I was like, I'm going to ask Sam when she's here if she'd want to do a photo shoot with me.
And I used to do photography as well, like dabbled in it in Nashville. And so we could work together to get an image because I'm starting to like get an image of what I want. Yeah. Out there. So that's in the works and it's exciting, but I'm just taking it slow and making sure I'm comfortable with all of it. But I want to make money doing this. It feels good and I really like it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I love that. That's so great. I know. I really, I'm like, this is such a good connection because again, you meet amazing people at a coffee shop, especially at Caffetto. It's a great magical place, but when you said that with confidence and like we started talking, it was like instant connection. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this girl. I love her story. Like, let's take this further. There's a line building up. I was like, let's make time to have this conversation and share stuff. So
I think it took a few days, but I was so excited when you reached out to me.
Yeah. I know. I was so excited. I'm glad we got you in. And I was like, I was kind of nervous because sometimes people fall out. So I had to check in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sweet. She's still on board. Sometimes it's exciting. And then it fills us out and they're like, nah, I thought about it. I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't want to say I almost bailed, but the thought crossed my mind that I was scared to do this. But it felt very right to do that. So I'm glad you asked.
Awesome. And So you enjoy it, because I didn't even realize how new it was when I talked to you mm-hmm. the first time. So it is still pretty new. Mm-hmm. And you enjoy it, and you continue to have this as your job. You enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because you seem like a very creative, inspiring person. And again, it's like, you can't ever just hit people with like, this person is this, that person is that. It's like what I was telling Joe this. It's like a job as like a creative person is like a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool to get you to the next level of where you want to be in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This feels like a stepping stone. I really, you know, when I was a nanny, I was changing my job up every year because I just felt unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, I feel more content in growing, seeing where this can take me and growing in it.
And there's a lot of places you can go with the job. I know it sounds crazy, but the connections you make with people, the people you learn, you meet.
Yeah.
I don't mean to like... I really do think it's a great job because you have exercised, you're a healthy person, especially if you're sober.
Yeah.
And you can meet some really cool people. You can meet some really crappy people, but it's just like working in the industry anywhere, a coffee shop or like as a bartender or, you know, in a club, you meet people, you get a network and you get to be your creative self. Dancing is creative. It's a creative outlet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was dancing alone in my room like we all do for so long that now it feels like I'm doing what I've always done, what I love to do.
Yeah.
And being compensated for it like fairly. You know, I'm making what I need to make, mm-hmm. what I want to make. What gives me so much freedom outside of the club.
Yeah.
And it's all geared around my health, the health of my body. I have to stay in good health to continue doing this.
Mentally, physically, everything. It's just going to perpetuate you into the direction. I feel like that. I don't know if I'm overstepping anything.
No, but that's completely right. Yeah.
What you've been saying, it does. If you feel like you're sometimes, you know, you make some extreme life changes and it's awesome. And I love how like, you know, you went from doing a nannying job your whole life to, is there any other jobs that you had in between there that you kind of tried to dabble in?
Yeah. Most of them were with kids because I knew that's what I was good at. So I was also an assistant teacher at Montessori schools.
Oh, that's funny. Did we talk about this? Because I worked at a Montessori school.
Oh, you did?
A preschool. I don't think
we did.
Yeah, teacher as well.
Yeah. It's so stressful and it's not enough money. And when I was doing that full time, that's doing stuff like that Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It really sets you up to want to drink on Friday night.
I drank a lot when I was, I shouldn't say, working at a preschool because I just worn out.
Me too. And then you feel like you have to live your life on Saturday, and then Sunday is depressing because you have to go back on Monday. And being responsible for that many kids.
That's not good, yeah.
It's stressful.
So, yeah, I guess for me too, I think I have always done freelance photography. And so I had a bunch of weddings to edit and I thought, oh, I could do the weddings on the weekend. And then while the kids are napping, I can edit. But my boss would yell at me for editing while the kids are napping because I don't get a break. That was my break. But I was trying. And so she was like, no, you can't sit and edit. You have to, like, do stuff. And
there was...
Like, when do I get a break, though?
There is more cattiness when I worked at a school than there is in the strip club. And I'm being completely honest about that. There was more drama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then the fact that I just never got a break. And I couldn't get these weddings done on time. So that was hard for me. Because I'm going to go home after working all day with kids. And I had a puppy. My dog was a little puppy at the time. And so... And it was just me, a single dog mom. but no, so I didn't have help with that. So it's just like I ran home took care of my dog, and then I wasn't supposed to do more work editing. Like, yeah. I thought I could do it all, but but then for me, what happened was, as well as all the craziness, but I ended up being at the school longer because the parents of the kids thought that it would be nice to pick up their kids super late.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not a babysitter. Like, I have to go home. Like, right. I'm off the clock.
Come,
like,
get your kid.
I can't leave your kid, obviously.
You had this kid.
Yeah. And not me. Yeah. And so, like, the bosses who own the school, her rule was you owe cash. If you're going to show up late, you owe them cash for every dollar that you're there. So if they're an hour late, they owe me $60.
Okay.
Which still didn't make it worth it. And also, probably they took longer because they had to go get cash. And to them, it was just, oh, a babysitter. Like, yeah. Oh, I just owe her cash now. It's like, no, I really didn't want to be here this late. Like,
and to get paid for unexpected time, it's like time is much more valuable than that.
And why is, I guess it is their responsibility, but that's a bad business thing. Like, if you have somebody on your clock staying after you're making the parent pay for it, you should pay for it. You charge the parent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of, but I think she did still pay for it, but then they also owed me. So it's kind of a bonus and kind of her way of punishing the parent, I guess. But it's backwards.
I think it should just be like, there's no be like, tolerating this.
$500, uh-huh. Like a hit.
And then they would never be late. If you're
a half hour late, yeah. Like a good chunk of money.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, if they are late and they have a good excuse, maybe, yeah, you know, whatever. It's like if it happens more than a certain amount, you know, or something, whatever. Yeah. But I got out of that. I loved it, but it's not, being a teacher is not something, you have to love it and you have to really care. And that has to be your only job because, yeah. And I pushed, like, even just, I mean, that was just little kids, like, but when you're grading papers and doing all the stuff that the teachers actually do, it blows my mind how, like, they have to do work outside of their job. Mm-hmm. Like, again, grading papers, coming up with, like, the curriculum or whatever they're going to teach. And then they have to have a second job, driving Uber or something.
Right. Yeah. Or because showing up for, like, the fun field trips on the weekends. It's like, they don't want to go to that fun field trip. It's not fun for them.
And they get paid, like, and $30,000 to $40,000 a year?
They're so stressed out. And they're like,
and then they're taking care and teaching your child. Yeah. That's how you want to do this?
It's emotionally draining. And it's really sad that they're not paid more.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that they're, I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't care. But people should be more grateful that there are people who are willing to put up with that.
Right.
And you know, give you somewhere to take your kid.
I know I don't have kids, so who am I to say? But you know what? I've been around a lot of kids. I feel like I've had a ton of kids because I've taken care of a lot of kids. And there might be a reason I don't have kids. Well,
yeah.
That and I never found a good suitor, you know.
Right. Yeah. I only recently have started changing my idea about having kids.
Me too.
Because I feel like my kids should be going to college by now. Or like, you know, like I don't
want to start this late in the game.
I don't know if I want to. Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that. And like now that I'm getting in such great shape, like I don't want to let that go.
I know. I like this. I kind of like this. This body that I created.
Keep this.
Right.
And they don't really, I feel like parents have to stick with like their child being the best thing that ever happened to them. But I know there's a lot of parents who are like, this sucks.
I know.
And being a nanny, like, you know that watching kids, you don't have time for yourself.
Mm-mm.
You pour coffee and then you never get to take a drink out of it.
Mm-mm.
You have to, you can't. I thought I was going to be like when I was in college, I thought I was going to get out of college, have kids, get married, have the house. And I'm so glad that didn't happen for me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't ready. I don't know where I would be if that had been the case for me for 10 years already. If, you know, if I had a 10-year-old, that'd be so interesting. I don't think I would know who I was really. And
can we talk about how I think it's a very common thing for women to go through something around 20, between like 20, maybe even 25 to like 30-ish mm-hmm. of like kind of almost like a depression of like, I'm missing the boat.
Oh, or
like,
yeah.
Oh, shit, I better do this now. I mean, yeah. They call it, I hate it, but it's, your clock is ticking. But
yeah,
I just hate that saying. But
yeah.
Because
men
even,
don't have it. Men yeah, don't have a clock that's so, ticking.
It's so frustrating, it is. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's so much pressure on us.
Yeah,
as if we're not we're not amounting to our greatest potential unless we have kids.
Yeah, I think
I used to do birth work.
Yeah,
I was a doula, and I studied all of that. And so I think I think women's capability of growing a child inside of you, growing a human inside of you and birthing it is magic.
Yeah.
And I think I always wanted to experience that magic.
Me too.
And I like now I'm like, you know, could I just birth the kid and then like
Yep. I've actually considered doing a surrogate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but then like having my vagina back and having my body back and
give me my body back.
Yeah. And some people get their body back. It's not exactly the same from what I hear. But you got to work hard. And then you have this kid, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad for having kids, but I felt bad for a long time for not having them.
Same.
And it was like, I can't control this. I want kids, but like, how do I make it happen? Right. I can't force it to happen. That would be messed up.
Did you ever like think about how to be a single parent?
I was planning it for a long time, thinking that was the only way it was going to happen.
Yep.
And now my whole perspective on it is changing. Mm. And I think I'm finding myself in a way that I never knew was possible in my 20s, because I'm becoming more than I ever was allowed to think.
Yeah.
And since I can't control it, like I'd like for it to happen naturally and like
same, yeah,
with love involved. Mm-hmm. So I decided like I'm not going to force it to happen.
I know.
I'm going to let fate decide, sort of, because I think I wanted it so bad that now I'm looking at why I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have not been for the right reasons. I think it might have been more selfish. Yeah. And it takes a lot to raise a child and to do it correctly. I don't want to have a child selfishly and then have it, you know.
And I think there's something too about, and I don't want to like put my foot in my mouth or say the wrong thing, because these are just things that are coming out. But there are a lot of kids out there, and there are a lot of people on this earth. And I know it's really special to have your own child and like raise them and stuff. At least that's what I thought. But like people like you who are you're a great person. You're really empathetic. You're really aware of people. You took care of kids. You sometimes we need more people like that in this world to help the people that are already here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it's, or like, forcing nature to just happen and like forcing things like that. Like, I don't know.
I think,
we forget that, like, as a whole, there's a lot of us, and a lot of us need help, and a lot of us, there's people out there who aren't getting the resources that they need as children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I were to add one more, it would be for myself. And I mean, it's our natural instinct to want to procreate, you know?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
We are extra horny around the time that we're ovulating. So it's just like we're set up to get pregnant, basically.
Yeah.
So it's, in a way, I think it means something that we haven't had a child yet.
Right.
That's not what was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to see a lot of like spiritual people back in the day because I wanted to know my future. And it gave me a peace of mind to know like, oh, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? It could still happen. But I had a lot of people... If anyone tries to tell you your future, like, don't take it to heart because mm-mm. things can change.
Yeah.
And from what people would tell me, I wonder if they were seeing the kids that I've raised so far, because those yeah. those are like my kids that I've I've had, that I've raised. And that is satisfying to me to know that
you've had that effect on those people.
Yeah. And the kids that I have worked for still ask about me. They are aware of me and like I made an impact on them.
Yeah.
And that I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we could do a better job taking care of, you know, what's here. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of mothers that are worn out and stuff. But being in my 30s, I always get the question if I run in, like, everybody asks me, oh, are you married? Do you have kids? No. Okay. Like, and then it's just crickets. Like, great to see you. It's so good to see you. Like, it's just so awkward.
Well,
it's
if
like,
they're married and have kids, that's all they can relate to. Yeah. A lot of, not all, but that's what they want to talk about.
Sure.
And yep. so, yeah, I've moved on from a lot of my friends who have done that. Yeah. Because we don't have much to relate to, yeah. relate on anymore. Because when you have kids, like, that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
That's all you can sort of talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped being able to have those conversations. But I've also seen people sort of envious for the life that I'm living now.
Me too. Yeah, it goes both ways. I have people, yeah. friends have, not like people have kids and they're like, oh. And it's just like, I mean, my friends, I have a lot of friends, but a lot of them have kids and I love them. And if yeah. we hang out, I like get all excited with them and run around. And then, you know, like, so it's not, I guess what I'm saying is there's not a separation between me and other people. If you don't have kids, you don't have, or you do, you know, it's like,
yeah.
The thing that blows my mind is I have a friend who has 4 kids,
mm-hmm.
and she shows up to like all my events. Wow. She does like all this other artwork. And not only will she show up, she'll be like, I made this for you. I had her at a barbecue, just a casual barbecue. And she's also an artist though, but she made all of the food look decorative. I'm like, and you have 4 kids.
Yeah. And she must have a great partner.
Oh yeah. I bet. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've met him a few times, but absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, she does. And I think that is the key too. Sometimes it's just having a good partner and balance in that. But if you met her and like you just had a conversation with her that was not about kids, you probably would have no idea she has kids because she's so like well-rounded, you know.
Yeah.
But she also says lots of therapy.
Oh, I bet. So yeah, I mean, it is possible to have kids and still live a great life, obviously.
Oh yeah. But absolutely,
I think a lot of it is like circumstances too. You really have to be prepared to change your whole life.
Yeah. And I think too, not always, but a lot of times people hire nannies because they're not ready to change their life.
Yeah.
And then the nanny gets a lot of that. And then
the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've had that feeling where I work for people who have had less experience with children than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because I've had a lot.
Yeah.
But like they're the parents. They're the one with this permanent baby child in their life. Yeah. And they're sort of caught off guard by the work that it entails.
Yeah.
And so they want to hire a nanny to take care of it. And then there was just too much pressure on me, almost feeling like I'm having to like pick up where they didn't realize they were going to have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was too much pressure.
There's also, I have a friend who, a Filipino friend.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in the Philippines, and I met her at a job, one of my jobs back in the day. But she was young. She's probably like 10 years older than me, and she is like probably like a 19-year-old now is the oldest. Mm-hmm. And then she has, you know, so she started young. She's got a whole litter But they moved here from the Philippines, and her family, not the husband, the husband stayed there. And then after they moved, she found out that he was cheating and they broke up. But anyways,
oh man,
that's a whole different story. But yeah. When she moved here, she was so confused. She's like, so wait, you guys just don't have like nannies that take care of your kids? Like, I have to deal with my kids. Yeah. Like, so over there, they always, no matter what, always had somebody live in with you and like cook for you, clean for you, and nanny for you, no matter what. Like, that was their job. Like,
yeah.
And you didn't have to be super wealthy to have that. If you had kids and a family, you just kind of, I don't know. I shouldn't be quoting this, but the way she made it sound was just, she was shocked. She was like, you mean I have to work and then go home and take care of my kids?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, that's weird to you?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, I know somebody that had that experience living here. She had a live-in nanny growing up.
Yeah.
Just her whole life. And, like, with that perspective, I started thinking about, like, what kind of mom I wanted to be after experiencing working for so many other moms.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, I've done all this work with these kids. And I don't think I would be able to hire a nanny. I would want to be, like, so involved in my kids' upbringing.
Yes. That
I wouldn't have a nanny. No. I've been a nanny for so long, and I wouldn't have a nanny.
No.
Because I know that I was trustworthy. I know that I always had the kids' best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so... so important to hire that, but like sometimes you don't know if you're hiring that.
Right.
And
it's to trust a whole person to take the thing that blows my mind is, but I'm also a very different thinker outside of this realm of like the way we are supposed to be in society. But I always think that your child should be with you, especially for like the first 4 years. Like yeah. No matter what you do, whatever job you have, if you're doing photography, you know what I mean? You make mm-hmm. it work with your job. And then like raising your child to be like a reflection of you, not you, but like it's your family. That's how you like to let somebody in. You'd have to really trust them and
yeah.
know that like this is your child. You'd do anything for this child.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you working a job where you don't get to raise your child?
Yeah.
Why is money taking, like you need money to raise your child, but then the money takes away from you raising your child. Like, it's yeah. so confusing.
Yeah.
Like,
and those first couple years are so important
yeah.
for a child. So I just always, when I like picture myself having a child, I just think of it being with me.
Yeah.
Like I'm wearing it everywhere yeah. I go.
Everywhere.
It's with me. And so society doesn't set mothers up to be able to do that though.
No.
And that's the sad part.
Mm-mm.
And when you have to hire someone else to raise your kid, there's some, not all the time, but sometimes there's disconnect mm-hmm. between the mother and the child because someone else has been mothering your child.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that disconnect. And no. I'm not saying mothers do, but it does create a disconnect and you're unable to know what your child needs based yeah. off of the way that they're able to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
You also don't really always have the time to figure it out.
Right.
It takes a lot of time to, you know, connect with your child. And people think that brushing it off it's so detrimental to like brush a child off
yeah.
over and over again. They need so much attention. So I think it's good to have help, but I think mother should be the primary
yeah.
caregiver throughout the day, throughout the week.
Yep.
And yeah, I know some people that are doing it, but it takes a lot of money to, you know, not have to hire a nanny and not have to hire a nanny. I just don't even see how it would be possible for me to have a child at all at this point.
And I know like the whole 50s like thing is dead where it's like, oh, the husband has a job and then the wife stays at home. But I don't really see a whole lot wrong with that.
No.
It's not that I should say everyone has to have it. Women should have careers, and we should be able to give them more benefits to be able to be a mother and have a career.
Yeah.
But then the dad just stay home.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily, but I just, you know, something. There's got to be something there, because that was a great kind of, not super great, but that was a great gig.
Yeah. That was my dream gig for a while. I just thought, man, I get to stay home and play with kids all day and not have to show up to a job. Like, yeah, I know some people hate that, but that was my dream job.
Yeah. Yeah. And like anything, I think there's flaws and things. To say that society, this is how society is, obviously that's not really fair. But to be able to do that, where like if you are in these big corporate jobs or jobs you make a lot of money, and one person should be able to stay at home, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the mother, but it should be the mother for the first 2-3 years.
Yeah,
it should
be the mother. Body is what the child needs.
Mm-hmm. So it should be the mother, just because biologically that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, and I don't want to be insensitive to like other situations. Like, there's so many different family dynamics.
Oh,
like
so many.
But
you shouldn't have to lose your job because you have a baby, I guess.
No, no, we should be more focused on raising our kids.
Yes.
Making that a priority, because they're...
But money is the priority, and it's stupid. People's priorities are just so... not okay right now.
Like, no. Well, it's like... it's sort of forced upon us at this point.
Yeah.
You know, trying to break a mold is really hard, but we are capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. I think having the TV on and looking at screens all the time kind of brainwashes us into thinking that we have to be a certain way, and we have to live a certain way, and I think we can really create a life for ourselves that... You know, if you can imagine it, you can have it, but it's hard to imagine something that you're not seeing a lot of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of imagination to get there.
Yeah.
And a lot of faith that it can happen for you. Me and my friend were talking about this yesterday, actually, about how you always think there's two options to something.
Mm-hmm.
And usually those two options are like butting heads. You're like, I want this, but this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's butting heads and butting heads. There's always a third and better option.
Really?
Yes. If you think about it, like, there is something even better than this.
Which is it was something that hasn't been created yet.
Yeah. Something that you haven't been able to fathom, or like you're not giving yourself the space to think of that third option.
Yeah.
But there is always the third thing.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And almost you have to create your own. I feel like sometimes you have to create your own option.
Yeah, think outside of the box a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you'll be so surprised with where that will take you. And I think that,
I like that a lot. I like that.
Yeah.
Always look for the third option.
Yeah. It's there. The two options are butting heads.
It's like your third eye. It's there. You just don't see it.
Exactly. Yeah.
The triangle. The third option. Oh, my gosh. That should be... You should start a little inspirational business called The Third Option.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And I mean... you don't have to force yourself to think of the third option.
Yeah.
You just have to be open to it, and it'll come to you.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like we've talked about a lot of really cool things.
Yeah.
And I love it. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, I've had fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you actually came in. It happened. Mm-hmm. Like, this is great.
Yeah,
I love it.
I did not know what to expect, but I kept this as this was like the third option for me. I came in just knowing it was going to be better than I was expecting. And it was.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I wish I could enjoy the food with you. I know Joe's like, can I just come in and do the food part then? I'm like, no. but yeah, so awesome. We'll do a little portrait and yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.